Father God, all of these things that are on our minds, that are on our hearts, that we're acknowledging, we are bringing before you, Father, we often want to change our circumstances and without so much as a thought of repentance from whatever it is that's going on in our lives, without even the thought of our cause in the matter. Father, even if it's things that, like physical illness that we can't tie directly to the consequence of our sin or others, we can't directly tie it to chastisement, Father, we know it's for our good. We know you are sovereign. We know you give us what you need, what we need. Father, we know that it is only but for a moment that we have far greater things awaiting us in heaven. Father, I pray that you would comfort us and encourage us, and you would rebuke us and reproof us. I pray that you've shown us in this time of prayer that there are things that we can do, if nothing more than being thankful for you. You are our God, and we can trust you. And Father, that we have everything that we could ever, ever hope for and more in Christ Jesus. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to be in verses 1 through 3 today. And what we'll be looking at is some imperatives. Remember that imperatives are not suggestions. Imperatives are commands. Imperatives are commands, and we are given some commands. We are being given some commands this morning. The main imperative that we'll be looking at is to let brotherly love continue. There are a couple more. Please stand, and we will read the passage we'll be looking at this morning. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. You may be seated. This is the Holy Word of God. This has been given by God for the salvation of and the sanctification of His elect. God has spoken, and may it be true of us, beloved, that we will be changed. We will be exhorted, reproved, encouraged, affirmed, and changed by the Word of God. The book of Hebrews is structured like many of the New Testament epistles in that the first part of the book of Hebrews and many New Testament epistles, we see orthodoxy. We see right doctrine. And then the writer will shift and go to orthopraxy, or right practice, or straight practice. So you have straight doctrine that leads to straight practice. You have indicative statements of fact that lead to imperatives, commands. That's how this epistle's set up. Now there's inside of every epistle, there's some of both that going on. But as a general theme, you have orthodoxy and then orthopraxy. The book of Romans has 11 chapters of the gospel in great depth. And then in Romans chapter 12, verses 1, what do we see? So he does 11 chapters. Paul does 11 chapters of orthodoxy, the gospel, right doctrine. And then he says in 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that I just talked about for 11 chapters, present your bodies living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So he makes this transition in Romans, and then he says, and then he goes into, so here's some things to do. And more specific orthopraxy is given. In the book of Ephesians, you see the first three chapters of Ephesians are, again, orthodoxy. It's talking about Christ and the way to salvation. It's talking about good doctrine. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So, orthodoxy, orthopraxy. Book of Hebrews, same way. We've had 11 chapters. 11 chapters of orthodoxy. Of what? Jesus is better. He's better than the angels. He's better than the prophets. He's better than the high priests. The new covenant is better than the old covenant. Mount Zion is superior to Mount Sinai. All of this orthodoxy has been given. Christ is better. Christianity is the only way. And then, starting in chapter 12, and we'll see more in chapter 13, we see that we are given orthopraxy. Chapter 12, run the race. Endure chastening. Strengthen the weaker brethren. Pursue peace and holiness. Serve God with reverence and godly fear. These are all commands given based on the doctrine that was taught. Now on to chapter 13, we see another imperative or command based on the 11 chapters of indicative or teaching on who Christ is. So brothers and sisters, because of who Christ is in our lives, because of who He is and what He's done on our behalf, let brotherly love continue. What is brotherly love? I want to start by praising God. As I was preparing for this message this week, I was very thankful that this is a practical reality in this local assembly. Imperfectly, for sure. And we all need to grow in God's grace in this area of letting brotherly love continue. We all need to grow in this, some more than others. So I want us to be spurred on. I want us to be changed. But I also want to acknowledge how thankful I am to God to be part of a local assembly that actually does love one another in this manner. But I do not want us to rest there, because some of us need to hear this in a very rebuking manner. And some of us need to hear this in an exhorting manner that we would grow in this grace. Let brotherly love continue. Brotherly love. The Greek word is Philadelphia. Just like the city, kids. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Phileo, love. Adelphos, brother. Love of a brother. Brotherly love. This word phileo actually means to love, have affection, listen, as a matter of feeling or sentiment. So this is not agape love. This is actually a feelings or sentimental love. Let's start by listening to what I just said. Because around here we've understood that the majority of the New Testament, when we read the word love, we are reading the word agape. The supernatural giving of oneself for the benefit of another, not based on the recipient of the love, based on the character of the giver. That's agape love. This is tied to, as we'll see in Scripture, but this is not. This is a feelings love. This is sentiment. Some of us need to understand that at the very outset. Brotherly love is a sentimental love. This is the command of God. Let affectionate, feeling type love that one naturally has for a sibling continue amongst Christians. This phileo, Philadelphia, love of brothers, sisters, brotherly love, the affection that's naturally befitting the relationship between siblings. So, first three siblings I see in front of me are Natasha and Alexia and Clayton. You all love each other. I've watched you since I've known you. Love one another. You naturally love one another. You protect one another. You care about one another. You love one another. That's a natural thing. And that kind of love we're to be having inside of a local assembly, inside of the body of Christ. Not, by the way, broken love. So some of you may have siblings you don't get along with because that relationship has been damaged or broken. It's not what's being talked about here. It's the kind you had when you were kids, when you just naturally loved one another. Want to be around one another. So this is the command. It's not optional. This is an imperative. This is a command. Let this affection for one another continue. God, via Paul, gives us a similar command in Romans 12:10. Look at what it says. Be kindly affectionate. That word is philostorgos. Philostorgos. Now, philo is still the love, and storgos is the love that a husband has for a wife, or wife-husband, and a parent for a child. So, he's saying, inside, remember Romans 12:10? Where does that come after? Just after we got to orthopraxy, one of the very first things he says about practicing the Christian faith is to be kindly affectionate, like a parent is to a child. Like a husband and wife might be to one another, with Philadelphia, brotherly love. In honor, giving preference, proegeomai, which means to outdo, esteem more highly, be the best at preferring the other person. It's like a contest. So here's what we're supposed to do inside of the Christian body, the body of Christ. We are to be kindly affectionate to one another like a parent, like a mother is to a daughter. Like a father is to a son. With brotherly love, what we just looked at, this affection that you have for a sibling, and giving preference, trying to outdo each other as far as honoring the other person. This is how we are to interact with one another, brothers and sisters. We are to let brotherly love and the husband, wife, parent, child love continue amongst ourselves. Because of the work of the great high priest, because of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us and the love we have received in him, we are to interact with one another this way. Do we prefer our brothers and sisters over ourselves? Am I competing with Brad to try to out-prefer him? Am I loving Cal like I love Steve and Billy? Am I being affectionate to Stephanie the way I am to Sophia? This is how I'm to live. This is a command. And it's not based on some law or some rule. It's based on who Christ is in my life. That's the orthodoxy that leads to the orthopraxy. That's the indicative that leads to this imperative, this command. It starts with the love of God that I have in Christ Jesus. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but concerning brotherly love, listen now, concerning Philadelphia, you have no need that I should write to you. He'd be saying, I really don't have to preach this to you, brothers and sisters, the brotherly love. I really don't have to even preach it to you because for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Again, Paul's saying, he wrote it, so it wasn't like he should, but I don't really need to write, I don't even need to preach this to you, Tony. I don't need to preach this to you. Because you've been taught by God to love the brethren. You've been taught supernaturally by God, with the Holy Spirit indwelling you. You've been taught by the Word of God to love the brethren. Paul wrote this before they had the New Testament, right? Correct? So to his audience, he's telling them, you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another, one, by the indwelling Holy Spirit, and two, the Old Testament scripture are filled with commands on Israel caring for Israel. The Israelites caring for one another. And so he's telling them, you know these things. God's taught you these things through his scriptures and through the Holy Spirit indwelling you. I don't even need to tell you, because you know this. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. You have no need. Ryan, I don't need to tell you this. You already know it. But I'm going to tell you, because it's what God says to do. God tells us through Peter in 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Sincere love of the brethren, Philadelphia, love one another, agapao. So because of this brotherly love, you're going to then agapao love. That was the same thing in the last 1 Thessalonians. The second love was agapao. Because of the brotherly love, that's going to naturally lead you into this agape love. But what Peter's saying here is, because we have been made clean, because we have been sanctified, because we have been saved by the Holy Spirit, we have, by definition, the capacity, the ability, and the desire to love the brethren fervently. Hear me on this. Because we are God's children, because we have been saved, sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God, then we have, by definition, the capacity, the ability, and the desire to love the brethren fervently. It's just what is. Remember, that's having feelings and sentimental love for the brethren. Not just agape love, a sentimental love for the brethren. That's what comes with salvation. It's a natural, supernatural, natural byproduct. It just is. More from Peter, or more from God via Peter. Chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you will be one mind, having compassion for one another. Philadelphos, as be loved as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this. What were you called to do? Love the brethren, amongst other things. You're called by God, the effectual call, you're called to love the brethren. If you're going to be glorified, you've been justified, you've been called, then part of your calling is to love the brethren. It's part of what came with it. One of those things that's attached to faith. This is how we are to interact with one another. We are to have affectionate, sentimental feelings for our fellow Christians. But Pastor, I can't make myself like somebody. God did. Pastor, they're really annoying. God gave you love for them. No, He didn't. Yes, He did. Yes, He did. And out of those feelings, we will fervently take loving actions toward the brethren. We'll actually want to. Look, I don't want to puff up and I don't want to put down. But I watch my brother Donnie most of the time, what appears to me, serve lovingly because he loves me. It's not work for him. Again, I'm not trying to, I'm here, right? I'm talking. So Ryan just yesterday stopped by the house to deliver something for Sophia. She's been doing Legos lately and he loved us because he wanted to. It didn't seem like a chore. Again, I want to affirm and I want to challenge at the same time. Brothers and sisters, I am so thankful. Actually, all of you out here, but certainly the brethren in a special way, God has given me a love for you. Even in my sin against you, even in my imperfections, even in my sin nature, I don't do that perfectly, but I know I love you. There's not one of you I do not love. And I desire to serve you out of that love. Because you are my brothers and sisters. This command, this imperative, based on the indicative, based on who Christ is and what He's done in our lives, based on what the Holy Spirit has done when He saved us, let brotherly love continue. Continue, you notice he says, continue. Meno, to remain, to continue to exist. Back to what we were just talking about, we'll look at more. It came at salvation. See, when something is going to remain or abide or continue, what does that presuppose? It's already there. John 3:36, what will remove the wrath of God that abides on us? We're under the wrath of God. It's there. Only thing that will take it away is Jesus. Okay? This abiding is the love for the saints, the brotherly love. It's on us. It's in us. It's part of who we are in Christ. Now let it continue. It doesn't say manifest it. And then try really hard to like Bob. You know, I know Emily can be real tough to like, but you gotta like her, so buck up and like her. No, you do love her. And some of you are maybe in your minds going to push back and say, no, that you're putting a yoke on me. You're telling me I've got to love people that aren't very lovable. Wow, really? That is what the scriptures teach that Christ does in us and to us. He loves us who are unlovable, that we would love his children who are unlovable. Let it continue. Don't manifest it. You don't have to birth it. You have to make it up. You just have to let it continue. Do we have brotherly love for other Christians? All. Do you have your favorites? I've never talked to a parent who will acknowledge they have favorites. I think most do, but they won't acknowledge it because that's not the right thing to do. I find very few Christians who won't acknowledge the fact that they like some Christians better than others. That's not Philadelphia. It's not. All the brethren. All the brethren. Look again at what we saw in 1 Peter. We looked at verse 22. Since you have been purified, your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. As a matter of fact, those who are born again have been infused with a special love for the brethren. I'm not suggesting we don't need to grow in this area. I've already acknowledged that, said that. I need to, you need to, some more than others. But you cannot make a biblical case for having affectionate feelings for unbelievers above affectionate feelings for the brethren. And we should be growing that in ourselves. Because it's a matter of fact that now it needs to continue. We are to love all people. Scripture talks about it lots. I'm not suggesting we can't love unbelievers. We do. There's not a person here I don't have affection for. But that affection is to be special for other believers. It is. It is special. Remember 1 Thessalonians 4 we looked at. But concerning brotherly love, Philadelphia, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. How? Supernaturally by the Holy Spirit and by the word of God. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are all in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Okay? So I've given you a truth. You love the brethren. Now it should increase more and more. Stephanie, you love the brothers and sisters. Now it should increase more and more. Not try to love the brothers and sisters, Brenda, even though I know you don't. No, you do. Now do it more and more. Have that grace grow in you more and more. Don't fight the truth. Don't deny the truth. Don't let your feelings, your sinful fleshly feelings, get in the way of your spirit-led feelings. We, by rebirth in Christ, automatically, supernaturally, have affection for fellow Christians. It is a birth effect. Not a birth defect. It is a birth effect. It is a reborn birth effect that you love your fellow Christians. That you have a feelings love. A sentimental, a brotherly love. And we are urged to have that increase more and more. That spiritual DNA we were given when we were born again, now grow up. Now grow up. Every Christian that's born again has the spiritual DNA to love the brethren. Now mature. We are to, by the grace of God, we are to grow, to cause our affection for the brethren to grow. Look at 2 Peter 1. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay, we have been given, Christians, all things that pertain to eternal life and holy living now. Been given all things. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us, we've all received exceedingly great and precious promises. So, because we're in Christ, we have received great and precious promises for our eternal destiny. Great and precious promises like He'll never leave us or forsake us. We've received those. That through these, you may be partakers of the divine nature. So we have a divine nature now. Having escaped the corruptions in the world through lust, we are now partakers of Christ's divine nature that causes us to live holy lives. Tracking? But also for this very reason, okay? Because you have the divine nature of Christ and you've been given all things to live holy lives, because of that, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, Philadelphia. And to Philadelphia, agape. So, because you are in Christ, you have His divine nature, and you have everything you need to live a holy life, and one of the things about living a holy life is loving the brethren. For if these things are yours and abound, listen, if these things, what things? The things we just listed, one of which for today's sermon is brotherly love. If these things abound, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to know Christ better as we love one another more. Feelings wise, sentimentally. We're going to know Christ better. As I love Tony more, I'm going to know Christ better. As I love John more, I'm going to know Christ better. And I have Christ's divine nature that will allow me to do that. Now, I should be diligent to make that happen. For he who lacks these things, what things? Well, one of them is brotherly love. He who lacks this brotherly love is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. See, it used to be okay to pick who you liked or loved. That was your sin nature that allowed you to pick and choose who you loved. In Christ, we love the brethren. Brotherly love. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, what things? Well, one of them is brotherly love. You will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are to be diligently working out our salvation. And one of the ways is by growing in affection for the brethren. Now listen. If I am going to grow in my love for Kathy, am I going to focus on her faults and her shortcomings and what irritates me? Is that going to grow my love for her? Of course it isn't. Or am I going to focus on the things that she does to serve the body, the way she completes her husband, the way she loves me? What am I going to focus on in order to diligently make sure my love is growing? What do you focus on? Listen, you know what goes on in here, and you know what comes on out of here sometimes. It really is what goes on in here. What goes on in here about your brothers and sisters right here at Grace Fellowship Church? Really? What do you think about? Don't think about the things that irritate you. That won't grow your love for them. Pastor, am I supposed to ignore all their problems? Sure. Cover an offense. Purposely focusing on the things that are praiseworthy. Whatever's good, whatever's true, whatever's noble. Is that how you're growing? This is how you will grow your affection for the brother. Because, for this reason, Peter's writing, saying, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Peter says, look, I'm going to keep reminding you. Okay? And one of the things he's reminding him of is Philadelphia. Though you know and are established in the present truth, even though you know these things, I'm going to keep reminding you, he says. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. I'm going to keep provoking you to love the brethren and have feelings of love for the brethren and stop complaining about the brethren and gossiping about the brethren and love the brethren. I'm going to remind you of that and stir you up about that, Peter says. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Jesus Christ showed me. I'm going to die, he says. Okay? But until then, I'm going to remind you to love the brethren. Moreover, I'll be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Peter says, I know, I'm going to keep reminding you after I'm even gone. Peter knew what would be happening right now. That we are this morning being reminded that we are to be loving the brethren, adding brotherly love to our Christian repertoire and growing it. Growing it. You and I today are being stirred up to love the brethren emotionally, sentimentally, feelings based. We are being spurred on to do that. Do not resist the word of God. In 2 Corinthians 3:12, greet one another with a holy kiss. Hagias Philema. Hear Philema? Kiss. It's a kiss, but it's a greeting for a brother. It's a loving greeting. A set apart greeting. We are to greet one another in a more affectionate way than we do the rest of mankind. We are to greet with affection the brethren, more than we do the rest of mankind. So, look, people get hung up on kiss. It's fine to kiss. It's fine to hug. In our culture, we have a way we interact with people. We have a way we all have a little bit different way. You have a way you greet people, John. You have a way you greet people at work. You have a way you greet people in your home. You have a way you greet people. The way you greet the brethren should be special. Different. That is a characteristic of this local assembly. Are you part of that? John 13:35. Jesus says, by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now that's agape love. But remember that agape love for one another comes from or is fueled by that brotherly love. And the agape love we have from Christ. But we have to understand something, that this brotherly love is part of what has us to serve and love the brethren, is we feel like it because we really like them and love them. God's children, Christ's disciples, will have a love for one another that is evidenced. There will be an evidenced special love that they have for each other, that people will see. And again, I think that's part of what is this local assembly is characterized by. Are you part of that? Are you part of loving the brothers and sisters here in such a special way that people see it? People outside of here, or people inside of here, unbelievers. What do your children see about your love for the saints in this local assembly? What do they hear you say? How do they hear you think about them, act toward them? What does your spouse hear? Really? Now listen, this is what it says in 1 John 3. We know that we have passed from death to life. How do we know it? Because we love the brethren. Agape adelphos. Because we love the brethren. That's how we know we're Christians. He who does not love his brother abides in death. This is true. It is a matter of fact that Christians love Christians in a very sentimental way. Pastor, that's not true of me. Then this passage would say you can't know you have passed from life to death. This passage would say if it's not true of you to love the brethren, then you're still dead. John Calvin. Here's a quote from John Calvin. He, the writer of Hebrews, calls love brotherly, not only to teach us that we ought to be mutually united together by a peculiar and inward feeling of love. So not only that, we are to be bound together by a peculiar and inward feeling of love, but also that we remember that we cannot be Christians without being brethren. We cannot be Christians if we are not brethren. And that brotherhood will bring with it peculiar and inward feelings of love. For he, the writer, speaks of the love with which the household of faith ought to cultivate one towards another, inasmuch as the Lord has bound them close together by the common bond of adoption. John Calvin says, Julie, we are bound together because we're both adopted into God's family, and therefore you're my sister, and I have a peculiar inward love for you. And if I don't, 1 John 3 would say, then I'm still dead. This is not me telling you this. Either, look, I know if you're a Christian, you love the brethren, you just do. Now have it grow in you. If you absolutely don't, then you have not been born again. Do those feelings come and go?
Yep.
You know when my feelings start to go? The minute I start to dwell on what I don't like about Jay. The minute I start thinking about myself more than I think about him, guess what happens to my feelings of love for him? They dissipate. Boy, I really don't like the way Elder Nick talked to me the other day. You know, he is so sharp-tongued with me. I tell you what, that guy could be a little nicer to me and go a lot farther. And what's happening right now as I'm, not honestly, but if I'm speaking that way, my love for him is dissipating. I am so thankful for that brother in my life. I am so thankful for Tyler as an elder who challenges me every Wednesday in ways I don't like to be challenged. I'm so thankful for that. As this affirms you, praise God. As it rebukes you or rebukes you or reproofs you, repent and love the brethren. Be diligent to love the brethren. If you cannot and will not have feelings of affection for the brethren, then you're not a Christian. I need you to know that this morning. Not by some measurement I can come up with, but if you don't have it, you're not. And please, brothers and sisters, let's fight to love one another by making sure we focus on what's praiseworthy and stop focusing on our irritants. And let's make sure that we assemble together. Let's make sure we don't start Proverbs 18. We don't start isolating ourselves. Because when you isolate yourselves, do the love of the brethren dissipate or increase? It dissipates. By absolute, every one of you knows that to be true when you have isolated. Stop isolating. Love the brethren. Grow your feelings of affection. Play a board game. Sing a song. Inseminate some cattle. Whatever you can do to be together. Be together. Love one another. Grow your affection. Oh, look, I'm telling you, I've been to Bob's house working with the cattle. Not that thing, but I've been there. And my love for him grows when I hang out with him around his cows. Because I like him. I love him. Being around him makes me love him more. As this affirms you, praise God. Praise God. Thank Him. As it challenges you, be diligent to grow in your love for the brethren. Because you have it. Now let it continue. And if you tell me you don't have it, then I'm going to tell you you're not a Christian. The Scripture is very clear about that. Every one of the brethren. Now, I will not put names in here, but in your minds, just look around at the Christians in this room. I like him better than him. Well, I love spending time around her, but her, I try to avoid. Be diligent to grow your love for the brethren. Verses 2 and 3, we're going to get two more specific manifestations of loving the brethren. There's two more in verses 2 and 3, specific manifestations. That's one. The second one is, do not forget to entertain strangers. For by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Entertain strangers. In the ESV, that says show hospitality to strangers. We says of hospitality, do not be forgetful. We are to not forget to be lovers of strangers. The word here for entertain strangers is philoxenia. Philoxenia. It means to receive and show hospitality to a stranger, that is, someone who is not regarded as a member of the extended family or a close friend. Philo, love, brotherly love. Xenia, hospitality. The Greek word means that we are to show love, be hospitable to those who are not biologically related to us, who are not our closest friends, but yet our brothers and sisters in Christ. The word xenia is found in Acts 28:23. So when they had appointed Paul, a day, many came to him at his lodging. That's xenia. So this, we get the sense of hospitality in this word. Paul was being provided hospitality in Rome by other saints. We can do the same. We are to do the same. We will. Don't forget to do this. As we would have opportunity, we will be lovers of visiting Christians by extending to them hospitality. This text is talking about visitors, strangers, Christians that aren't part of this. If you're not regularly loving and showing hospitality to the people in this room, there's one of two things that could happen. One, you'd be really willing to do it with those you don't know as well because they're not irritating you yet. Or you're not practicing hospitality with those around here, so you're never going to practice it with those outside of here. This text, though, tells us for visitors, Christians from other places, we are to extend hospitality to them. Romans 12:13, distributing the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We are to not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. The reference probably here is to Abraham, who entertained the angels when he was sitting by the tree in Mamre, and the three angels came, and then he had him go and have a meal with his wife. Those were angels that appeared as men, but they were actually angels. Or Lot, when the two angels came from heaven looking like men, Lot took them to his home. Now, the word angel simply means messenger. But what's being said here is that we are to be, and we are to be giving hospitality to Christians from other places that we don't know well, who are outside of our local assembly. And again, I am extremely affirmed by this local assembly's willingness to do that. We had a guy move up here from down south who stayed in a brother's house for 3 or 4 months. We had a conference a few years ago, a families designed for conference. We had, I think it was 2 families come down, and they had a total of 17 people, and they stayed in someone's house. We have people that visit us from other cities, and they stay in our homes, Christians. And we do that. Now, again, we do that. Do you do that? Don't forget to entertain strangers. Show hospitality to Christians that aren't in this one little local community. If you're not doing it here, it's not very likely you're going to do it there. So I've been witness to many of your doing this very thing. Don't forget to keep doing it. Loving the brethren who are outside this assembly. Next, remember the prisoners as if chained with them. Those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. We're to remember the oppressed, those who are being imprisoned or being tormented, physically tormented, because we're part of that same body, so don't forget them. Now, we don't have a lot of opportunity. In this time, when the book of Hebrews was written, there was regular persecution of Christians, imprisonment and beatings. We don't have much of that. Now, we ought not forget what's happening in China right now. We ought not forget those brothers and sisters in China who are being imprisoned and beaten for their faith. Remember those, because they're part of our body, so don't forget them in your prayers. And if you could, minister to them. But again, it's a little different context than we have now. Now, maybe, Lord willing, in Kenya, we might see some of this. As some of these men change their families and their churches, they may receive those things, and we'll want to remember them. I'm no prophet. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I'm not a fortune teller. However, we may come. Some of you in this room, Tyler is a lot younger than I am. It would not shock me to see American Christians being imprisoned and tormented at some point. And if they are, remember them. Don't forget about them. Hebrews 10:34. You had compassion on me in my chains. The writer of Hebrews says, you know this. You had compassion on me when I was in prison. You joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves. So he says, you remembered me when I was in prison. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. These two verses. Do not forget to entertain strangers. Remember the prisoners who are being mistreated. They parallel Matthew 25. Remember in Matthew 25 at the judgment, Jesus puts the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And to the sheep on his right, he tells them that they had fed him. They had given him lodging. They had given him medical attention. They had clothed him. They had visited him in prison. Verse 37, then the righteous will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me." So this writer of Hebrews is giving us the same thing Jesus said, that we will give hospitality to, aid to, remember those who are hungry or in prison or being tormented or being injured for the cause of the faith. We are going to show hospitality to Christians outside of this local assembly. Don't forget. And also remember, we're going to remember those who are imprisoned or beaten, because we are one body with them. Don't forget them. It's not a reason for prison ministry. However, if we know of a Christian in prison that's in prison for their faith, or even a Christian that's in prison, visit them. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. "Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also." Closing thought, three imperatives from this passage. Let brotherly love continue. Affectionate, sentimental feelings of love toward the brethren we are near. It is a matter of fact and of course for Christians to do so. It is a matter of fact and of course for us to have affectionate feelings for the brethren. We are to continue in this love that we've been given. We are to be growing this love for every Christian in this place. We are to be diligently growing our love. Practical ways, don't isolate. Practical ways, think kindly. Focus on what's good, not what irritates you. I'm extremely loved by you all. So I have no complaints. Okay. But look, I realize that I have some personality traits that can be irritating. That doesn't mean you should stop being around me. Now think of all the people in this place, all the Christians in this place, and which ones you want to hang with and which ones you don't want to hang with. And why? We need to think less of ourselves, preferring the rest of the Christians in here more than ourselves. That's how we will grow that. That's how we'll be diligent. Because we're in Christ. We have His divine nature. We have everything we need for eternal life and for holy living. One of the things we're going to be adding is brotherly love. Be hospitable to visiting Christians and remember the oppressed brethren. Gracious Heavenly Father, you are so good to us. Your word is so clear. And Father, you have given us your Spirit indwelling us. We have Christ intercessing for us. We have your word to inform us. Father, may no Christian walk out of here today not believing what you have told us and seeking to, by your grace, grow in our love, our affection, our sentimental love for the brethren. That we will not forget to entertain strangers and remember those who are being persecuted for the faith. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for all that He has done that makes all this possible and factual. It's in His name I pray. Amen.